Springtime, of course, is bursting forth across the region. Flowers are in bloom everywhere. Bees are out pollinating. Be careful which flowers you sniff. And people are out committing yard and garden care in a big way. So this is an excellent time to talk about gardening. Even better, because this is the weekend of the Master Gardener Spring Fair at the Jackson County Expo Park in Central Point. So we brought some of the Master Gardeners in. They can talk about the Spring Fair, can answer our questions about gardening, and we'll get to the side issue that could become the issue, the future of the Master Gardener program in Jackson County. A ballot measure in the May election would provide ongoing funding for the county's extension service, which includes the Master Gardener program. Three guests in the studio here. Ron Bombeck is the head gardener at the Rose Demonstration Garden out at the Master Gardener Spring Fair and a past president of Jackson County Master Gardeners. Ron, welcome to you.
Thank you.
It's a room full of executives because Jody Willis is also a past president of the Master Gardener program in Jackson County. Jody, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Sherry Morgan's back with us once again. She is the current but soon to be past president of the Jackson County Master Gardeners Association. Sherry, thanks to you for coming back again.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Let's go around in turn and just have each of you tell us about what it was that how long you've been gardening and what got you interested in the first place. Ron, let's start with you.
Well, I've been a gardener my entire life. I'd lived on the East Coast, moved to the area in 2005, and in 2006 I joined the Master Gardeners here. Been very active ever since. In 2006 I became an apprentice in the Rose Garden at the Extension Center under George Jennings, and he was considered to be the Rose Doctor in the Valley. And as the progression would go, I eventually became the head gardener in the Rose Garden out there. One of the reasons I got involved with the Master Gardeners was because when I moved here from the East Coast, I found that all the things that we grew in the East Coast didn't grow as well here, and I needed to learn more about what actually grew in the Valley. And it's been very positive experience for me in a wide variety of ways.
That's an interesting perspective you bring to this, though, having come from outside the area, from a long way outside the area.
A long way, that's right.
So did you have to learn a bunch of things practically anew because of the differences in the way things grow and in what things grow in Jackson County?
I'll use roses as an example. I tried to grow roses in the East Coast and what with Japanese beetles and the powdery mildew and the black spot and everything. Without damaging the environment tremendously, you really couldn't grow roses. And then I came here and found out with the dry atmosphere that a lot of roses grew very well with the minimum amount of damage to the environment, the minimum amount of chemicals and all. And we administer 178 roses at the Extension Center. I have another 50 at my house. And as a matter of fact, my wife has threatened me to send me to the Betty Ford Clinic because every time I say I want to buy another rose or two.
You don't mean one rose. You mean a whole bunch.
Right. I keep taking out her perennial border to add more roses to it. So it... It's so different here than it was. And even in the Valley here, I give talks around the Valley on roses. People equate what we grow here with what grows in the Willamette Valley, and I have to just shut that off because it's much more moist than in the Willamette Valley, and you just really can't you can't grow the same kind of roses the same way there as you do here. And that's true probably of a lot of the other plants that we grow.
Jody Willis, tell us a bit about yourself and what got you into gardening and into the Master Gardener program eventually.
Well, I'm also from the East Coast. I was in teacher training on the East Coast. And so when I moved out here, there's always the question of what do you do when you retire? Do you do what you've always done but maybe do it a little different way? Or do you do something new? And so for me, it was gardening. So I joined the Master Gardener program in 2003. And probably because of my teacher training, I really was very interested in the hands-on part of learning about gardening. And so Jan Perkypile and I set up a curriculum and a practicum, which is before there were some hands-on experiences with Master Gardeners during the training. But we set up a whole program, and so now it's evolved so that the practicum this year we've propagated 6,800 plants to take to the Spring Garden Fair. So it's gone from a rather small operation to something pretty complicated.
Sounds like 6,800 plants. And then Sherry Morgan, let's come to you, the current president, and as we pointed out, soon to be past president. When does your term end?
Oh, it doesn't end until December.
Okay, and so you got the rest of the year then.
I'm looking forward to the rest of the year. I'm looking forward to relaxing a little bit after this election. But anyway, I also am sort of a lifelong gardener, but I worked in a very different type of job before I moved here. I'm a speech pathologist by training. And however, at the last couple of years of my career in the Bay Area, I'm from San Francisco Bay Area, I work part-time as a clinic supervisor at a local university for graduate students in speech pathology. And I started taking classes at the horticulture department of our community college and started a little landscape design business, which I still do. So I'm a plant person. I love plants, but I hadn't very much experience in propagation. So when I started in 2008, I moved here a little bit earlier than that. I took the Master Gardener class, and I was very interested in their program in how to propagate plants. So that's one of the real wonderful things that I've learned since I've been in this program.
We will talk about what propagation is. We'll find out what goes on at the Rogues Demonstration Garden, and we'll talk about variations between the many, many climates that we serve here at Jefferson Public Radio, because there are so many different climate zones and things grow very differently in those. Back to talk more with our Master Gardener guests about what they do, about the Master Gardener Spring Fair, and we will get to discussing the extension ballot measure in Jackson County as well. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange when we return from this break. Back on the Exchange with the Master Gardeners and you in a minute 10. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are talking today about gardening. It is a great time of year to be talking about gardening, and we have three members of the Jackson County Master Gardeners program here with us on the eve of the Master Gardener Spring Fair at the Expo Park in Central Point. We have Sherry Morgan, who's the current president of Jackson County Master Gardeners Association. Jody Willis is a past president. Ron Bombeck is also a past president and the head gardener of the Rose Demonstration Garden at the Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center. There we go, SOREC. Okay. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Sherry Morgan, I want to pick it up with you because you talked about learning propagation as a master gardener, having taken it. What does that mean, propagation?
Well, how to create more plants. That's what propagation is about, and we do a couple of different methods, many more than a couple. We start plants from seed, and we also start plants from cuttings. We have grape cuttings, for instance, that we take off the grapevines that are in the demonstration gardens out at Master Gardeners. And we also do divisions and propagation from bulbs and rhizomes and so forth. So there's a lot of different techniques that are used to create more plants. And
the other two had talked about being lifelong gardeners. Were you also a lifelong gardener?
Yes, and actually I come by it naturally because I was saying to somebody the other day, I have a photograph of my dad growing tomatoes hydroponically at UC Berkeley in the 30s.
Really?
Yeah.
So he was ahead of the curve there, huh? So it's interesting. But you hadn't taken a Master Gardener program until you moved to the Rogue Valley?
No.
Interesting. So, Jody Willis, can you kind of walk us through the sorts of things that people learn in the Master Gardener program, how long the learning process takes, and how many people get to go through it in a year?
Well, there are around 70 people that go through Master Gardener training every year, and that means that we currently have 450 active members, which is pretty amazing. People think of Master Gardeners being a rather small thing, and it's a lot of people. So what happens when you want to become a master gardener? You go through classes one day a week from the middle of January up till April, through April. What is relatively new, part of becoming a master gardener has always been what they call payback hours, where you might go work on a project out in the community or do something connected with gardening. And what really happened about 10 years ago is that it became much more of something people did on the Master Gardener grounds, with something almost like a laboratory experience that you would have in conjunction with a class. So for those months, people go through the Master Gardener classes on every Wednesday, But then in addition, they'll spend a half a day a week working in a greenhouse, and that's where they learn about some of the propagation that Sherry was talking about, but also a lot about soil mixtures, about fertilizing, what kinds of fertilizers do you use, what do you do to take care of plants that are not thriving. And so it's a very rich experience, and that's why I'm still here, because it's just so much fun.
Is it a program that is generally taken by people like the three of you? I mean, of course, you're all two past presidents and the current president. People who have had a history in gardening, will some people take it because they got purple thumbs and they just want to find out something about how to do things?
I'm actually wasn't much of a gardener. I had a very busy career and a busy
family. A lifelong
family,
gardener, but not much of one.
And so I was lucky if I stuck a tomato plant next to my house in the summertime. That was all the gardening I did. So one of the things I like so much is that there's such a variety of people. So you'll have – one thing we're seeing is a lot more people are becoming interested in landscaping as a career. So we'll have people coming through the Master Gardener program because they actually want to get involved in gardening on a much higher level. But then we have all ages. We have all economic backgrounds. We have all interests, from people who know nothing – to people who know much more than I do. So that's what another thing that makes it so much fun.
So, Ron Bombeck, do some of the people who are taking the Master Gardener course know a little bit more than the instructors upon occasion?
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, what I do, one of the things I do is I teach a botany unit for the new Master Gardeners, and I can't tell you the number of times I've had people asking me questions, which the only way they could ask that question is if they knew more than what I knew at that point. And so, absolutely, you do. But mostly people are interested in just learning about your field, your area. And I think the most interesting thing about the Master Gardeners is if you don't know, there's somebody there that does. And I know some people get overwhelmed by the class and say, geez, I finished a class. Am I supposed to remember all of this? And the answer, of course not. The answer is, but now you know who to go to, and you know what areas you want to develop in there. But wide variety of knowledge.
It sounds like a lot of note comparing then. It's like, well, how have you dealt with this? Like, well, I tried this. And then did it work? And, well, no, then I tried this, and that did work.
Absolutely. And people are very open to that sort of thing. People say to me, boy, you really know your roses. I said, no, I'm learning a lot about my roses. And I continue to learn a lot about the roses and about some other things that are out there. I wander around to the different demonstration gardens and ask my own questions. I will go to the plant clinic myself if I have a problem at home. And I'll bring a leaf or something and say, I've got this. I don't know what the dickens it is, But you people in the plant clinic know more than I do. And so can you, help me out with this?
Does every county that has an extension center have a rose demonstration garden as well?
No, they don't. We're very, very lucky. Mm-hmm. We have the largest single county Master Gardener program in the state. There's one up in Portland, which is a matter of three counties joining together. Mm-hmm. But we're very fortunate that we have the land out there, the Extension Center, to actually put demonstration gardens in where people can actually come see what grows well here, talk to the head gardeners to find out how to grow these things. And it's open to the public. And people don't realize that. We have referred to ourselves, and maybe incorrectly over the years, as one of the best-kept secrets. If people knew more about us, we probably wouldn't be fighting for this extension tax district.
We have 24 gardens now, don't we?
We have 24 active gardens out there. The head gardeners are for 21 of them are there every Wednesday morning. So anybody can come by and ask questions.
And are the things that you're demonstrating growing in the demonstration gardens, are those changing over time as the climate changes?
Yes, they are. It's interesting because there are certain roses and I always go back to that because that's the field that I'm in. There are certain roses that grow well here, and don't grow well elsewhere. Well, I'm finding more and more that those which grew well in 2006 are the ones that are dying out now as the weather. And so I'm changing the garden. I'm putting new roses in, ones that are better for our drier and hotter climate.
One thing that's kind of interesting, one new garden we have is the Waterwise garden. And that's certainly a topic that a lot of people are going to be concerned with this year, with what do you do for plants when there isn't so much water. And so anyone interested in that could go out and see what they're doing.
Right. Another one, too, is the succulent garden, which is going to be very, very important with the less water available. And mm-hmm. we have a very, very big succulent garden out there, which started a few years ago.
So does one of the elements of being water-wise, Jody Willis, involve growing different things, things that are more drought-tolerant?
Definitely. It would be that. What kinds of things, for instance, cover having a ground cover or something that protects the roots so that it holds the water and the soil? And I believe they have a water, they're doing some water collection too, aren't they, Sherry?
There is a rain garden that we established a few years back where we take, there's a very large building with a low slanted roof out there, and we gather the water off the roof of that building, and it goes into a kind of a swale. And so it automatically waters the plants in that swale. Now, we haven't collected like you would with a rain barrel, but that might be a thing we would consider in the future, because once the rains stop, then that rain garden has to be watered in some other way. Lots of people I see are now going to capturing water off of their roofs, and especially not letting water run off the property, that is, learning to be more efficient in the way that they irrigate their landscapes.
To hold on to what you got. So the water that falls in your property, you try to, within some limits, we should point out.
Because within some limits, yeah.
If you start building ponds in your property, you might get a visit from the Department of Water Resources, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. We're talking about gardening with the people who know quite a bit about it. They are master gardeners. Sherry Morgan is the president of the Jackson County Master Gardeners Association. Jody Willis is a past president, as is Ron Bombeck. He's also the head gardener of the Rose Demonstration Garden out at the Research and Extension Center near Medford. This is also the weekend of the Master Gardener Spring Fair, and of course there's that other shoe that has yet to drop completely, which is the fact that there's a ballot measure that will affect the Extension Service in Jackson County for good or ill. You can decide which with your own vote. We'll talk about that when we get further into the program. You can join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Jeannie in Medford, thanks for waiting. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with the Master Gardeners.
Hi, what a beautiful day to talk about gardening. I'm wondering about a honeysuckle. I want to transplant a cutting from a neighbor that moved the yellow fragrant. And will that root in water like mint does, or do I have to splice it and do that doctor thing? And also about a volunteer apricot. It's 4 years old now in my compost pile, and I don't know when they will get fruit or if I should do that mating thing with that as well, you know, where you have to breed it mm-hmm. with something else.
All right, so honeysuckle and volunteer apricot. And now we have Sherry and Ron, we're throwing hand signs, so let's see which one wants to answer that. Thanks for the call, Jeannie.
Ron's pointing at me. the answer to the first question about honeysuckle is I'm not sure. I think vines want to grow, and I wouldn't be surprised if that would root in water. It's maybe a little bit more efficient to actually put it in some potting soil and keep it moist and create a sort of a cover so that it stays hydrated in a little area. But if I were you, I guess if you have a piece of a honeysuckle, I'd put it in some water and see if it didn't grow roots. I think that would be the easiest thing to do. Vines want to grow, so this probably will want to grow.
I'm going to just throw in something with that, Sherry, and then you can answer the other part. When you do a cutting, people think that they want to take a nice big hunk off to try to get it to root. And one of the problems with that is that the plant is spending all its time trying to maintain its life in the part that has been cut. So actually a small cutting from the tip of the plant that then could be, and even some of the leaves cut off, it will do better because that way it can put its energy into developing roots.
All right. And Reed just checked out at sfgate.com and got something that says honeysuckle is easily propagated by cuttings that take root easily in water. So that should take care of that. And then the other part of the question was about how to deal with a volunteer apricot.
Well, so maybe I'll make up from the last time when I'm sure I did not answer this is previous conversation with Jeffrey a few weeks back. But most fruit trees are grafted, and I wouldn't be surprised if this volunteer apricot, maybe somebody threw a pit in the corner and it grew, would need to be grafted on another rootstock. I don't know for sure what rootstock. Apricots are a little tricky. They are not widely grown here because they're not a fruit that does that well here in the Rogue Valley. We don't have quite the right...
Just not a precipitation?
Mainly, I know people who try to grow them in the Bay Area. It's too hot. Ron's saying it's too hot here for them, and I think that's right. In the summer, it's too hot. Apricots also need a certain period of cold. We have enough cold for them. They have to have so many days of below 40 degrees. We certainly have that, but it probably is too hot, and they get various diseases that would just not indicate that they would be a good fruit for this area.
We did have a segment on the Jefferson Exchange within the last few months about the maps that indicate where things will grow. And the variations are actually pretty staggering because, I mean, you were talking, Ron, about the differences between how people assume that what grows in the Willamette Valley will grow anywhere in Oregon. Obviously not true in the Medford area, which got less than 9 inches of precipitation last year. But even within some of these zones, I mean, from place to place in Jackson County, it seems like you could have wide variations as well.
We have a lot of microclimates here. Excuse me. There was a case, a person called me up and said that they had a problem with their roses, that they all seemed, she had 20 of them and they all died this year. Well, we didn't have that problem at the Extension Center, and all I could assume is that she had a microclimate there, a low part in the valley where the cold stayed longer, hit quicker. And these were roses that weren't established. They'd only been in the ground for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So you're going to find that even at the Extension Center, there are different microclimates as you move around. There's right next to us is a perennial border, which is always in the shade, so it's always cooler. You know, part of the rose garden should be the whole rose garden, but part of the rose garden is in full sun. We get other gardens that, like the water weiss, which is in full sun constantly. These are different climates, different temperatures, different things will grow there well.
We're talking gardening with Ron Bombeck, Jody Willis, and Sherry Morgan from the Jackson County Master Gardeners Association here on the Jefferson Exchange. The issue we were talking about, though, not just with microclimates, but sudden changes in climate. Ron, you had said, I think, before we got on the air about issues that a lot of plants in Jackson County faced over this past winter when we went from a very warm and very dry October into a sort of a middling November, and then bam, it froze really hard at the end of November and early December.
That's right. And what the problem, and this is true of all the different plants, is they didn't have an opportunity to what we call harden off. We need a period of time where the temperatures slowly go down before we hit to the freezing point. And if it jumps like that so quickly, it's going to cause damage to the plants. Like this last year, it was so dramatic that it actually killed a lot of well-established plants that were growing. And, you know, my advice to the people up to this point was, well, just give it some time, see what happens. Don't give up on it yet. But now's about the time that if your plant is still looking pretty bad, no leaves, the leaves have fallen off, the stems are black, it's time to get that plant out of there.
I'm told one of our bamboo shoots that look completely dead actually developed a green sprout yesterday.
You've got to be patient with your garden.
That's a lot of patience. I mean, it was the 1st of May yesterday, and it's been looking pretty haggard since early December. So the issue then is when you're dealing with things like extremes in temperature, it's less what the extreme is than the speed at which the extreme is reached?
That's right. It's just the turnover there. We could have gotten colder, and that would have been okay, but what wasn't okay was the fact that we had been so warm before that, and it was just a sudden change there. And we don't normally have that here in the valley. Usually it's pretty gentle.
All right. Sherry Morgan, you had something to add here?
Well, the other problem I think this year was that we had a relatively dry fall. And I'm sure people are aware that when there's a freeze, one of the things that the orchardists do is that they put water on their plants. Plants that are adequately hydrated have a little bit better opportunity to resist cold temperatures. So but,
you're not talking about getting the freeze on the plants.
That's one thing. But actually watering your plants. And so people who put in gardens last year, for instance, where they had fairly new plants growing in their garden, I encourage them to keep on watering through that warm fall. When we normally would have had rains, then when you get to the cold weather, the plants have adequate hydration, and that makes them more resistant to freezing.
Which raises the question about whether you're getting very different questions from people this year so far about growing things, simply because of the prospect for not having a lot of water available.
the questions that I've gotten so far have really dealt with the fact that we had that heavy snow and all. And I know a lot of people are calling me and saying, would you go ahead and, knock the snow off of these plants? Well, that would be the worst thing you can do because the snow on those plants kept the temperature around 32.
It's an insulator.
That's right. And as you knock the snow off, then the temperatures can drop down in those plants. And I'm sure a lot of people lost some of their bushes because they went out and knocked all the snow off because they didn't want to damage the plant, which was the worst thing they could have done.
Much more to talk about in the realm of gardening with these members of the Jackson County Master Gardeners Association, Ron Bombeck, Sherry Morgan, and Jody Willis. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. We will talk about the Master Gardeners Spring Fair in a little more depth. We will also talk about the ballot measure for the Extension Service in Jackson County that could have a bearing, will likely have a bearing on the future of the Master Gardener program. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with your questions and comments and our guests in a minute five. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking about gardening, the Master Gardener program in Jackson County, the Master Gardener Spring Fair going on this weekend, and the future of the Master Gardener program and the Extension Service larger around that Master Gardener program. There's a ballot measure coming up we'll talk about in just a short bit. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange if you want to comment or question any of these areas. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. So what goes on at the Master Gardener Spring Fair? How many people show up, and what kinds of things are they looking for?
And well,
Sherry Morgan will take that one on.
I will take that one on. We have upwards of around 7,000 people who come to the Master Gardener Spring Garden Fair. This is the 35th annual fair. It's out at the Expo, exit 33. I go right, then you go left, and you hit the Jackson County Fairgrounds. We're down at the Compton Arena. It's this Saturday, tomorrow, oh my gosh, opens at 9 on Saturday and closes at 5, and then on Sunday opens at 10 and closes at 4. So it's a very well-attended fair, lots and lots of people. We have over 120 vendors there, and Master Gardeners themselves have created this 6,800 plants in their practicum that they're selling. I think people come for a variety of reasons. There are a lot of veggie starts. And so if you want to, you don't grow your vegetables from seed, and a lot of people don't, and they want to have well-started vegetables, that's a great place for them. There also are ornamental plants. Master Gardeners has ornamentals, and a lot of the vendors do too. Many of the nurseries in the area and the growers, the small farms come. Plus, we have lots of just fun gardening-related items there and classes, lots of classes, which are free. The admission is $3, which is a real bargain, and anybody under 15 gets in for free. So
so if you couldn't get into the Master Gardener program this year, and it's 70 people a year, I think is what Jody said. Right. Okay, so not a lot of people, and that's from January to April, and then it's done for the year. So can you sort of get a little bit of an idea of what you'd learn from Master Gardener from some of the classes at the Spring Fair, Jody?
Oh, well, one thing I wanted to throw in, just because I think it's a kind of a neat fact, is that it's the largest garden fair that goes on between Portland and San Francisco. So for
largest in area, largest in attendance?
Largest in size, attendance, in every
plants.
Way.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, this is just like one of the most exciting days of the year. I just love doing that. So the classes you were asking me about, there's going to be a class on trapping gophers, one on birds and bees, looking at plant propagation, seed starting, all kinds of composting, all kinds of classes, and they are all free. There also is a plant clinic. So anybody that has a question that they could bring in, either bring something in or they could just bring their question to the plant clinic booth.
So that, I mean, so, some people would actually lug in their plants and say, look, you know, here's my pot.
Or a piece of their plant.
Yeah.
That's right. And we also have well water testing booth set up every year out there to help a lot of the people. Information booth, I'm involved with the big information. Anything people want to know about the Master Gardeners, mm-hmm. the fair, you know, we can answer any kind of questions such as that.
Is there one attraction, one booth that is the consistently biggest draw year after year at the Spring Garden?
We'd like to think that the Master Gardener's booth is. Our stuff tends to go, you know, very fast, and the first day, really quality stuff. I don't know how the prices compare, you know, I would tend to think because we are just growing the stuff there as part of our curriculum, we probably charge a little bit less for some of these things. What a lot of people like about going out to the fair is if you're looking for a tomato, for example, virtually any tomato that you've ever heard of and many that you don't will be found out there somewhere.
We have 37 varieties of tomatoes this year.
And that's the Master Gardener
that
part.
We're bringing.
You add some of the other people, the vendors that are there, and we get a wide variety of different things. And for all intents and purposes, most of the booths don't run out. You don't have to be there in line at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. If, say, you have a job and you need to come in the afternoon, plenty of plants for you. There's no problem with buying exactly what you want.
But, you know, given that the Medford area has a history of people lining up at like 5 in the morning for the opening of furniture stores mm-hmm. and, you know, lumber stores, I mean, I've seen all these things over the years. Is there a line waiting when the National Garden Spring Fair opens?
Okay. On virtually every year, there are 200-300 people in line before we open up. It's not like we're giving something away.
Right. Sherry, you weren't trying to throw something in here?
I was just going to say that Carol Evans found me an amazing tomato plant yesterday. I bought it. It is called a pink Berkeley tie-dye tomato.
Really?
And I can't wait
to
see. I can't wait to see what that looks like when it's grown.
And she was also saying that not only does it look different, but the different colored areas taste different.
Taste different.
Within really? The same
tomato? We shouldn't
tomato?
Be saying this because it'll all be gone by the time we go to buy it.
No, I've already got mine.
That's not
some
fair.
Of us who work out there get to shop early.
Yeah. That's the advantage.
One other thing that'll be fun for shoppers this year is because Master Gardening really is about learning. And so one of the things we decided this year, we wanted to focus on milkweed and the monarch butterflies. And so there is one section of the Master Gardener booth that is devoted to selling and passing out information about milkweed. And one of the nice things is that anybody who buys any plant, you can ask the people that are working there in the booth, where is this plant going to be best planted in my garden? What do I do with it to keep it alive? The one thing generally I think gardeners need to think about, though, is that you go to this the spring fair, you get so excited about seeing all these plants, you bring them home and you immediately throw them in the ground. And in some cases, those plants are not ready to go in the ground yet. They need to wait till we're sure there's no more frost. Because we had so much rain in the last couple of weeks, I know a lot of our plants were not hardened off. Ron talked about hardening off earlier, so that you want to make a transition for these plants. So whoever is buying plants, whether it's at the garden fair or whatever, don't just bring them home and immediately throw them in the ground.
All right. I don't want to save this for the very end. I want to deal with the fact that there is a ballot measure that deals with the Extension Service in Jackson County. Two of you are wearing the yes on 15-121 button. So, Ron, why don't you tell us what the Extension Service measure is about.
Okay, well, what we're trying to do is we're asking the citizens to create a tax service district where we could as much as up to 5 cents per $1,000 would be charged based upon your property taxes. It doesn't have to be five cents, but up to, mm-hmm. Which would solely go towards the Extension Center and the maintenance of the Extension Center.
So if your house is worth $160,000, 160 times a nickel.
That's right.
Would be the top of it, yeah.
That's right.
About $7.50 a year.
A year. Mm-hmm.
It's a very
right.
small ask.
And, you know, it's a small price to pay considering, you know, what the Extension Center has offered to the community over the years. I don't know if you want to talk about that right at this moment, but, you know, some of the things that
it's
we
It's more than Master Gardeners is the
well,
point.
Well, Master Gardeners is just a small part of it. There are people that move to the area that have want to have a small farm. They can come to us for information. We help the people with the vineyards, the pear growers. As Master Gardeners, we give over $5,000 a year to the local schools, elementary and middle and high schools, for projects in agriculture, horticulture. We have seed money, startup money for the community gardens in the area. We have give at least one scholarship, sometimes two, to a student who is majoring in agriculture, botany, horticulture at Oregon State University. We have the Spring Fair, and something that which is becoming more important to me. We also have a gardening symposium in the fall, which is made up of a choice of four classes and lunch, which is offered at RCCSOU. And if the ballot measure does not pass, all of these things go away. I mean, including the
with the next fiscal year, July 1st. Or do we have a determination from the Budget Committee in Jackson County?
The Budget Committee was willing to give us half of what we needed. And after
through
that,
June,
they said basically there is no more.
Mm-hmm. So you can run for 6 months and then you're going to...
We could probably run through the rest of this year.
We're not sure.
We don't know that yet. We know what the money we have for. We have the money we'll be raising at the Spring Fair. But we don't know how much longer we can go. We may not have that symposium in the fall. And I think a lot of people, I'd hate to see it happen, would wake up, you know, one morning and say, what happened to the Spring Fair? Well, why can't I call and find out about my plants and all that? It's just all will go away.
Ron's right that there are many, many programs connected with the Extension. The Extension has a budget of $2 million a year. Of that, a very small amount comes from local money. And almost all of it is state and federal grants that depend on a local contribution.
Yeah, that's an interesting. That's a key point because it is a leveraging process where if there's no local money, then you lose the federal and state money as well.
Every dollar that the local people would throw in, they get $8.46 back in programs that support agriculture in this area. So it's 4-H. It's the Master Recycler program, it's small gardeners, it's woodlots, it's
food preservers.
All right, I want to make it clear to our listeners, too, we have looked for organized opposition to this ballot measure, 15-120, can't find any. If those people do show up, we will try to get them on before the election, certainly, to get the other perspective here. But thus far, nobody's made a voter's pamphlet statement against ballot measure 15-121, the extension measure in Jackson County. So back to the things that go on at the Master Gardener Spring Fair and the sorts of things you can find there. Sherry Morgan, you'd said something about there's lots of veggie starts there. What's the advantage to getting a veggie start versus growing your vegetables from seeds?
Well, it's a time thing, for one thing. If you were to put a tomato seed in the ground right now, it wouldn't be ready to plant out probably for another 6 to 8 weeks at least.
July.
And then you're getting into the real hot weather. So when you get... Unless you have started your seeds very early and you have a greenhouse so that you can keep them in a climate-controlled area, it's really more practical for most people to buy starts and put them in the ground. I mean, people who have greenhouses can grow their own starts, but most people do not have greenhouses, so they can buy them at the Spring Garden Fair. You can also get them at growers markets and things like that. Not as many at the growers market. I want to add on to something that Ron and Jody were saying, because there's one portion of SOREC, Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center, that we haven't really named, but it's really critical, and that's the research center there. The research center has a number of scientists that work there. There's a soil scientist. There's a forester who works with people who have small woodlots. There are people who are interested in and who are scientifically experimenting on entomology, study of bugs and plant diseases. We've got a viticulturalist who is an expert in growing grapes, which, of course, is a huge part of our economy, that and the orchard economy. I think it's something like $55 million in Jackson County. And these are the research scientists that support the scientific-based best practices for growing things here. And so we're really lucky to have it. Not every extension center has a research center as part of it. And that certainly would go away if this election, if the ballot measure didn't pass. The research center would go away. There might be some way for master gardeners to reconstitute themselves, but it would not look like it is now. And we know this because in Lane County...
I was going to ask if you had a chance to compare notes with counties that have lost
Lane programs. County did not pass their extension service measure, and I think they, for a while, the Master Gardener program went completely away. Now somehow they paired with a community college up there, and they've got a much reduced and much truncated program from what they used to have. So we would not like to see that happen because we think our program is great and so many people benefit from it. But the economy in Jackson County really benefits from the research and the science base. And also I want to say to people who are concerned about the environment for sure, the Jackson County program, both the Master Gardener program and the scientists at the Extension, promote something called Integrated Pest Management.
IPM. Mm-hmm.
IPM. And that is what we teach in our classes, and that is what farmers and orchardists and grape growers learn from us, too. And that means that you try to use a lot of different techniques, planting the right plant, planting it in the right place, giving it the right cultural requirements. If you have a plant that likes sun, you don't plant it in the shade. Adding compost and mulch, building your soil. Soil is really critical before you do anything like put on pesticides or herbicides.
Which really...
So it reduces the number of chemicals that are used out there.
It's an attractive thing to a lot of our listening audience, I know, because we get lots of calls every time we have pesticide segments on. Master Gardener Spring Fair was Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4?
Yes.
Yep. At the Compton Arena at the Jackson County Expo in Central Point, exit 33, did you say?
Exit 33.
Off Interstate 5. I want to thank Sherry Morgan, the president of Jackson County Master Gardeners Association, Jody Willis, past president, Ron Bombeck, also past president, and he's also the head gardener at the Rose Demonstration Garden at the Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Come see us at the fair.
That's right.
Monday on the Exchange at 8 o'clock, we'll talk about addressing hunger in the Rogue Valley. At 8:30, we'll talk to the opponents of the jail funding measure in Josephine County. That's measure 17-59. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll talk to the author of a book about providing education in parts of the world that don't have much of it. The book is called The Promise of a Pencil. That's all Monday on the Jefferson Exchange. Our producer is Charlotte Duren. Our student assistant and musical guest in our first hour today, Reed Newland. Thanks so much for joining us. Have yourself a great weekend and join us again Monday at 8 for another edition of the Jefferson Exchange here on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio.